The following audio is from Delta Church in Springfield, Illinois. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel through the church to a world that needs Jesus Christ. We pray this sermon will aid and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. For more information about Delta, you can visit us online at deltachurch.net.
Good morning, saints. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5 this morning. Our sermon is going to actually be concentrated on verse 3, but so that we can get some context to this verse, we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. So again, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and then once we get done reading these verses, we'll turn and focus in and concentrate on verse 3 alone for our sermon this morning. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, our brother in Christ, the apostle Peter, wrote this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Well, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And I'm stoked to be able to preach to you this morning the good news of King Jesus and his resurrection from verse 3 here in 1 Peter chapter 1. I think as we go along, what we're going to find this morning is that packed into this single verse is a magnificent truth, that because of God's power to turn death into life, and because of Christ's resurrection from the dead, we have a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 is a beautiful verse that is great for this Resurrection Sunday, because we're going to hone in on that idea of a living hope and how, because God has made us alive, we have living hope, and because Christ is alive, we have a living hope. My prayer is that as we continue to celebrate Christ's sin-defeating, grave-robbing victory, we would be overwhelmed with joy with the resurrection of our King. So what I'm going to do is hit pause. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask for God the Spirit to blow and to move in a powerful way, to do only what He can do through the preaching of the Word as we turn and get ready to concentrate on verse 3. So join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would do what you love to do, which is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, take these truths of the resurrection, the truth that we have a living hope because Christ is alive, and that we have a living hope because God has caused us to be born again. He has made us spiritually alive. I'm asking right now, Holy Spirit, to please move in such a way to where those truths would land on us and stir up a heart that is overwhelmed with joy at the realities of new life we find in our King who is alive. Cause our hearts to burn within us. Open our eyes to see Jesus. Open our minds to understand the beautiful weight, the glories of the resurrection. It's in the name of King Jesus I pray these things. Amen. Let me ask you this question on this Easter Sunday of 2020. What is the opposite of living hope? What is the opposite of living hope? The answer, I believe, to that question is this: the opposite of living hope is dying hope. You see, hope that can die is hope that is unsure. It is hope that is easily robbed from us. It's a hope that's marked by uncertainty. It's a hope that can be plagued with doubt. For instance, we might describe dying hope as the hope that the weather will be nice tomorrow, but we can't be certain that it will be nice. We might hope for health to remain, We might hope for wealth to grow. We might hope for relationships to last, but all these hopes are ultimately dying hopes because these hopes can fail due to unforeseen pandemics when it comes to our health. Our wealth can be failed because of the frailty of possessions. Even our relationships, they can falter and they can fail because of just the unpredictability of people. By nature of what it is, when you think about dying hope, what we can say is this: dying hope is fleeting because it hopes in that which can never truly last, never truly satisfy. But in contrast to dying hope, the Apostle Peter says it is possible for you and it is possible for me to have living hope. Hope that is undoubtedly certain and unquestionably sure. Hope grounded in the God who saves. Hope that is grounded in the Christ who lives. You see, the good news of Easter is that you and I can have living hope. And here in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, the apostle glories in the reality of the living hope we can have by highlighting two truths. And the first truth he's going to highlight is this: because of God's power to turn death into life, we have living hope. Because of God's power to turn death into life, you and I have living hope. Just look at how the apostle begins in verse 3. He writes this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." Peter opens with an outburst of praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. His opening words are words that bless God for what he has done. Peter is ultimately in rejoice mode right now. And what he's doing is he's rejoicing in the living God who is the author of our salvation. And according to God's great mercy, we are born again. This is what God has done, and it is stirring up a heart of praise in the Apostle Peter. One of the great testimonies of the Old Testament is that our God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And as Peter dials into the mercy of God, it should prompt us to ask the question, well, what is mercy? You hear that phrase used a lot. You hear preachers use that phrase. You might hear someone sharing the gospel with you talking about that idea of what is mercy. We just read that verse from Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, talking about how God is full of mercy. He is merciful and gracious. So at some point in time, we need to stop and ask the question, well, what is mercy? And to answer that question, we must understand who we are apart from God's mercy. What makes mercy so great, according to Peter, what he's going to tell us here in a minute, is because of who we are and what we don't deserve. You see, the Bible tells us that a sinner is someone who is spiritually dead in their sin, marked by a deceitful heart, marked by a corrupt mind, marked by evil desires that separate us from God. And as sinners who've sinned against God, we should get what we deserve: just judgment from a righteous God for the sins we've committed against him. But, says the Apostle Peter, according to God's mercy, that is, according to his compassionate kindness, God has made a way for sinners to not get what they deserve. Out of his infinite compassion, out of his abundant kindness, God gives spiritual life, not because of anything sinners could do, not because of anything sinners deserve, but simply because God is full of mercy. He is merciful. This is why God's mercy is so great, says the Apostle Peter. He acts towards us according to his mercy, And he causes us to be born again, turning our spiritual death into spiritual life. This is the awesome power of our living God of mercy. And for those he has caused to be born again, notice that they have been born again to something. The mercy of God shown towards us causes us to be born again. But it's not just simply being born again for the sake of being born again. It's being born again to something. And that something is a living hope. That's what he says there in verse 3. You see, to be born again is to have living hope. Not a dying hope, but a living hope. When God turns our spiritual death into spiritual life, we are talking about someone who is now truly alive, someone who is now eternally alive. When our dead hearts are made alive by God's great mercy, this life-giving power brings a hope that far surpasses anything the world could ever possibly give. A hope that is not dependent upon us to maintain or keep. A hope that is certain and secure in the Lord who is life. A hope that anchors us in the present when our world is turned upside down. A hope that extends beyond this life. And a hope that stirs our longing for that future day when all things will be made new by Christ our King. So on this Easter, this morning, if you can say, according to God's great mercy, he has caused me to be born again, then your hope is a living hope because God has made you alive. You have living hope in the God who turns death into life. But notice, that's not all, says Peter. Our living hope, yes, is grounded on the foundation of the sovereign power of a living God who loves to turn death into life. That is why you have a living hope this morning, Christian. But Peter says, wait, there is more. Your hope is also alive because Jesus Christ himself is alive. Because of Christ's resurrection from the dead, we also have living hope. Just look at the latter part of verse 3. God has caused us to be born again, he writes, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, living hope is sure because of the resurrection. Your living hope is rock solid. It is concrete. Your living hope cannot be shaken. Your living hope cannot be robbed from you. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what the Apostle Peter is saying, right? How your living hope is grounded on you being born again according to God's great mercy, and your living hope is grounded on the fact that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is sure and certain. As the one who defeated death, Jesus proves he is the resurrection and the life. If you go into John chapter 11, the Apostle John records an interaction between Lazarus, his two sisters, and the Lord Jesus. Just prior to the raising of her brother Lazarus from the grave, Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Listen to this. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." In that same gospel, in chapter 1, verse 4, we read that in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. You skip forward into John chapter 14, we find Jesus talking to one of the disciples named Thomas, and Jesus tells Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus, in John chapter 5, we read, Jesus has life in himself. And when this is what you are, when you are life, by nature of being life, you cannot be death. So to trust in the one who is life itself and proved he is life itself through his resurrection from the dead, what can we do? We can confidently say our hope is living because Jesus is alive. You see, apart from the resurrection, if there was no resurrection, if we could not say at the end of verse 3 that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, what you and I would have is dying hope. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian Christians, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If the best we can say is we have hoped in Christ in this life only, the Apostle Paul says we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, says Paul, Christ has been raised from the dead. And it's his resurrection from the dead that forever secures your living hope and my living hope. In other words, we have a hope that is as sure as Christ's resurrection from the dead. Our hope is anchored in the past, for Jesus rose. Our hope remains in the present, for right now Jesus is alive. And our hope will be completed in the future, for this Jesus is coming back again. Friends, this is what it looks like to have a living hope. According to his great mercy, our living God has caused spiritually dead people to be made spiritually alive. That is why you have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So here's the question to wrestle with on this Easter Sunday. The question is this: do I have living hope? Do I have living hope? Can you say, after reading verse 3, I have been born again according to God's great mercy? You see, the answer to those questions is either going to be no, or the answer to that question is going to be yes. If this morning you have to honestly say, no, I do not have living hope. No, I have not been born again according to God's great mercy. Then know this, today as we celebrate Christ raised from the dead, you too can walk in newness of life. The question you should be asking yourself is this: how? How can I walk in newness of life? The answer is this: repent and believe. The answer is by turning from your sin and placing your faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as your only hope of salvation. Today could be the day that you can turn your no into a yes and say, I have a living hope. My dying hope is truly dead because Christ has defeated death. God, according to his great mercy, has caused me to be born again. But some of us, in response to those questions, can say, yes. Yes, I do have a living hope. Then my encouragement would be to rest today. Glory today, rejoice today, remember today your living Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, we have the sure hope of Christ's resurrection and the certain hope of his future return. Therefore, what do we truly have to fear in light of a faith anchored in the one who has defeated death? The grave has been robbed. Death has been defeated. Christ is alive and we are alive in him. So may we go boldly into these days as a Jesus people who are also a resurrection people, who speak like resurrection people, think like resurrection people, and act as those who have a living hope. Love you. May today be a great day where you rejoice in the good news that Christ Jesus has robbed the grave. I love you, saints. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. We glory in your name. The truth that you are not dead. The truth that you are alive and well, ruling and reigning as the sovereign king who has robbed the grave, the sovereign king who has defeated death, the sovereign king in whom we have a living hope. Father, draw those who are listening this morning to you who can't say, I have a living hope. Those who cannot say, I have been born again according to God's great mercy. God, I'm asking that you would move in such a powerful way to open their eyes to see that they can have dying hope exchanged for a living hope this day by turning from their sin, looking to the resurrected Savior, and saying, my only hope of a right standing with God is in you, resurrected Jesus. God, empower your people today to go out in the boldness of the resurrection. If our Savior, who is life, has defeated death, we have nothing to fear. Would you empower us and stir within us this entrusting spirit to go as those who think, speak, and act as we rest on our Christ who's defeated the grave. God, living hope is so good. It is so good. Stir within our heart, soul, and mind that truth so that we would walk in a way that brings you much, much glory. It's in the name of King Jesus, our resurrected Savior, I pray. Amen.